Next up is Art Anderson. I've had the pleasure of working with Art on some stuff, hopefully not too much stuff. Art is a member of the Land Use Group and at Winstead. He represents a variety of clients in mostly, as he puts it, controversial land use issues. He has an expansive knowledge of land use, and he has authored 2 books, 8 articles, and 30 seminar papers on land use issues that have proven to be very helpful. So off you go, Art.
Thank you. Good morning. I don't know if y'all realize, you know, what a great resource Jim is. Putting all this together and doing the paper takes a huge amount of time, and he does a great job every year. I think we need to give him another round of applause. So last year, how many people were here last year for the conference? Okay, a lot of newbies. So I spoke on the termination of nonconforming uses and gave basically, one even hypothetical, but some facts behind a case we had that had cross motions for summary judgment. Our client had bought land zoned industrial, built a concrete plant for $4.5 million. People in the neighborhood objected because of noise. The city went in and amended their comp plan to change it from industrial to retail, downzoned the property to retail, passed an ordinance that established amortization and termination of nonconforming uses that they had not had before, and then went ahead and amortized the property and said had to terminate the use in a few years. And I said, show by hands, you know, how many people think that our client would win? And most people did, and I asked why. I said, here's the causes of action. They go, we don't care. The facts in this case are so bad, the judge will find a way to rule for your client, and they were exactly right. I'm not sure exactly how he got to where he got to, but basically the facts in all these cases kind of drive the law in a lot of circumstances, and I think that that applies here. So the fundamentals, and a lot of this in my paper, I'll try not to repeat it, in a lot of the cases, I think are in Jim's second half. I'm not sure if I'm wrong. He'll probably tell me. But basically, these are the basic components of a breach of contract claim. I would guess, if not 99.9%, but almost all of the case law that you'll see on breach of contract on a city developer agreement are filed by the plaintiff. That will be the developer or the landowner. And the reason is that the city can really just withhold permit approval, right? So development agreement says this. Well, they just say, no, you're in breach. So the developer has to bring the contract. A lot of these cases, and I know you're shocked, deal with reimbursement of money. And the city or the county will just not do the reimbursement that they agreed to. And so from that standpoint, when we talk about breach cases, typically it's going to be the developer or the landowner who will come in. Now, the last item on the plaintiff sustaining damages due to the breach, we're going to be talking about proprietary versus governmental contracts. Either way, governmental entities are protected from punitive damages claims. Okay, and so there's a little bit of solace there, I guess, on that. And the statutes that deal with waiver also limit what kind of damages you can get if you fall within those. So the main thing we have to tee up is when a client comes in to me and we're looking at the breach, I look at first, well, what are the merits of the case? You kind of have to do that, right? And if they're not good, you say, go work it out. We'll help you to work it out. If you want me to file suit, I can't file suit because I don't think you have a valid case here. But if you do file suit, the first thing that the city or the county will do is they'll file a plea to the jurisdiction. This happens every time. And the plea to the jurisdiction is almost always based upon immunity grounds. And so the city, for example, will say Art doesn't have standing because we have immunity against this type of breach of contract action or other action. The plea is supposed to be based upon the pleadings themselves, and do they provide a valid cause of action where immunity is waived? And it's not supposed to be on the merits. But every case I've ever had, the courts go into the merits.